Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
It ain't the left. Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL, and Paul is Fanatic_pick on Twitter. The Dolphins play the Bengals at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami here, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. The Dolphins are 11.5-point favorites. To preview the Bengals and a look from their sideline, we're joined by Rebecca Toback. We've had her on the show before. She's done a great job. You can find her at her Twitter handle, at Rebecca_Toback. That's T-O-B-A-C-K. She also represents The Post Game, exploring culture, humanity, and lifestyle through sports. And also, too, here very shortly, she's going to have a quarterback breakdown comparing the 2004 and 2020 quarterback classes. And she said there's a lot of good Tua stuff that's going to be in there as well. Rebecca, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, taking a look here, Rebecca, we talked about a little under a year ago, and it was week 16. The Bengals, I believe, had just sewn up the number one pick in the draft for Joe Burrow. There was no surprise with that coming. You know, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, Joe Burrow tears his ACL, his MCL. What is kind of the feeling going on around there right now? You know, obviously it can't be a good feeling with Joe Burrow sustaining such a big injury, but what's kind of the feeling there with Cincinnati right now?
The feeling is pretty low, I would say. It's kind of, I don't think we expected to be feeling this bad about the Bengals after getting Joe Burrow. We thought that, you know, things were trending positively the first few weeks of the season. Even though there was a lot of losing, it was a lot to be excited about. And now for the rest of this season, there's really nothing to be excited about. So many players are injured. The Joe Burrow injury is just like your worst nightmares imagined. So the Bengals offensive line is not good. We didn't expect it to be good. The Bengals didn't do really anything to make it better during this past offseason. So the worst nightmare imaginable is Joe Burrow having a major injury, and then, of course, that happens. So I think the morale and feelings in Cincinnati are pretty low, especially just watching the two backup quarterbacks who have played since his injury and how really awful they are, and the drop-off between Burrow to Ryan Finley and then now Brandon Allen, who will be starting this week against the Dolphins.
And even as a Dolphins fan, it's frustrating to watch because I felt like the Bengals actually did things the right way this offseason. They draft Burrow number one. They don't get cute with it. And then in the second round, they draft T. Higgins, who, you know, with five games left in the season, has over 700 yards receiving. An absolute steal there coming out of Clemson as the number one pick in the second round this past year. So, you know, Joe Mixon also, you know, goes down with an injury. He's on injured reserve, might come back, may not throughout the rest of the year. Giovanni Bernard has taken his place there at running back. Do you see him getting the Lions' share of the carries here?
Yeah, Giovanni Bernard will definitely get the bulk of the carries this week. But last week, the Bengals have a backup quarterback who hasn't started a game. And for some reason, Bernard carries the ball 10 times. And this is just inexplicable to me, especially because they were not behind by much. Like in most of the game, they were losing by like 3 points or winning or tied. So the fact that he carried the ball 10 times is just absolutely mind blowing, that you really have to question the play calling there. And then Samaje Perine, who's the backup, He carried the ball once, maybe not at all. I'm not sure why the run game was so barely used last week. But yes, Gio Bernard will be the starting running back, and hopefully he'll see a lot more time on the field than he did last week.
Yeah, and you're right. It was a 19-17 loss, and the game was very close throughout the entire contest with the Giants. It was pretty surprising that they didn't run a lot more. And wide receiver, you know, this looks to be one of the strengths of the team now. I mean, Tyler Boyd, 72 catches this year, a lot of which were with Joe Burrow, but, you know, still a very productive player. And actually, he had two touchdown catches against the Dolphins in our game last year. T. Higgins, we talked about. A.J. Green also kind of going through a frustrating year. I mean, maybe, you know, he's been in the year for 10 years or the league for 10 years now. What do you have to say about this kind of wide receiver unit in addition to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like between Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. T. Higgins, his connection with Burrow was just fantastic. It was so exciting seeing the two of them, and I expect that combination of Burrow to Higgins is going to be something we hear about for very long and very many years to come. But I really can't expect that much from the two of them this week against the Dolphins, just because Brandon Allen has not been very successful. I mean, I think he had 29 attempts last week for 136 yards. So there's not going to be that many completions to go around among them. But Boyd really has been just like, if you don't consider the quarterback position, the MVP of this team for really the last like 3 years. And A.J. Green has been very frustrating with him. I think he's frustrated. And there have been games where he's done better and had, you know, signs of returning back to the A.J. Green we all know. But he's definitely not the A.J. Green that we have grown used to over the last 10 years. He's slowed down a lot. He can't create the separation he once did. He's dropping balls that you would never expect him to drop in past years. So he's not the guy that he once was, but there's always just that chance for him to have a breakout game. And I think we've been waiting for that. The wide receiver position on paper, it looks great. But then Auden Tate this week was put on IR with a shoulder injury. He's now done. And he had some flashes, but also some questionable coaching there about why he wasn't used earlier in the season. Mike Thomas is another guy. He's also hurt currently. He's had a bunch of drops. I think he might have been limited in practice yesterday, so we'll see if he ends up playing this week. And then Alex Erickson is someone who Bengals fans have grown very frustrated with at the wide receiver position. He is really the kick returner, but the Bengals, for some reason, insist on using him on offense, which hasn't been a great idea. But yeah, I think Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins for sure are bright spots on the team.
And another bright spot, or at least it seems like it from where I sit, Jonah Williams, they get back this year. He misses the 2019 season with an injury. And I bring that up because even though the rest of the Bengals offensive line with Bobby Hart and Alex Redmond and Quentin Spain, you know, you've got at best just a bunch of guys. Right now the Bengals pick third in the draft. They're 2-8-1 and a popular choice for them right now is Oregon offensive tackle Penny Sewell to give them two offensive tackles on the outside to protect Joe Burrow, too. I don't know how much you've looked at the draft or looked at Sewell so far, but is that something that you would like, or would you kind of want to go to a different position?
Yeah, I think that I definitely would like that. I'm a little bit concerned about how ready he would be to like start week one and be an effective tackle in the NFL. I think there's, you know, going to be tons of evaluation between now and April where that's discussed. I would really like to see the Bengals bring in a high quality starting offensive lineman in free agency who we know is capable of like protecting Joe Burrow in week one. But I think all signs point towards Sewell being the pick at this point. Obviously, long way to go. So many mock drafts between now and April. But yeah, the offensive line really is the top priority, both in terms of what they have to do in free agency and the draft, because they didn't, you know, they didn't really consider that last year in free agency when they maybe should have.
Yeah, it was a little surprising to see him re-sign Bobby Hart a couple of years ago. I know that's been a sore spot for Bengals fans. not to pick at a scab here, but along the offensive line, you know, Jonah Williams, you know, appears to be the best player, and feel free to correct me on that. Other than that, what would you say is the biggest weak link on that offensive line?
I think, well, right guard has been an issue throughout the year. There was three different starters within the first 5 weeks, and then they had cut Alex Redmond prior to the season beginning. Then they bring him back on the practice squad. Then all of a sudden he's starting again. It's really just been a rotation of injuries and benchings throughout the entire line. So, and then they brought in Quentin Spain once he was cut from the Bills. That has been honestly the absolute best thing to happen to this offensive line this year. He has been great. He ended up starting immediately, like 2 days after getting into the building, and did really well. And now he's played every game since he's been here. So that has been helpful. Trey Hopkins is pretty good at center. He is a solid point there. It's really the whole right guard, right tackle. And then, you know, Jonah Williams, it's his first year starting. So he has been good, but there have been quite a few sacks that were his responsibility, and really him kind of missing his assignment there to let that happen. But he's definitely a future long-term starter for this offensive line. I think whether he stays at left tackle or moves to right tackle next year, depending on who is brought in, is up for debate. But yeah, it's the right guard and right tackle spots have been a very sore spot.
Yeah, and if long-term you have Penei Sewell at left tackle and it allows you to move Jonah Williams to right tackle, you get Bobby Hart off the roster. And yeah, Now Joe Burrow's got those offensive tackles there on the outside. On the defensive side of the ball, Rebecca, you know, I'm looking at the sack total here, and I only see one guy with more than one sack on the year, and that's Carl Lawson, the defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid. You know, is this kind of a reflection of how the Bengals pass rush has been all year, or is it, you know, some players should have more sacks than that?
No, that is really a reflection of how the play has been this year. I do think Sam Hubbard was hurt for a large part of the season. He's back now, and he's playing decently, but coming into the season, we thought the defensive line was going to be a huge strength and that the pass rush was going to be a huge strength of this team. That has completely proven to be wrong. It's not a strength at all. It's a major weakness. It's even possible that the defensive line is more of an issue than the offensive line, and that the defensive line needs to be addressed just as heavily as the offensive line. There's also maybe some coaching issues there. I don't know how much you guys have all followed the Carlos Dunlap drama, because there was a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, airing out issues with the coaching staff there, and that's continued. There have been reports that the defensive coordinator doesn't listen to the players, has really his own agenda. There's a lot of concern there. So it's crazy to think, when you have Geno Atkins as one of your starters, that the defensive line could be as bad as it has been. But the pass rush has essentially been non-existent. And Carl Lawson is playing really well. He's going to be a free agent this coming off season, and he should be re-signed by the Bengals. But he can't do it alone, and there's really not much help being had there.
And the Bengals defensive coordinator Rebecca's talking about is Lou Anarumo, who is the Dolphins' previous defensive backs coach and actually was their defensive coordinator on an interim basis. And I've got to say,
yeah,
Rebecca, if we never see a Bengals defensive coordinator here in Miami, it would be too soon. Vance Joseph, Kevin Coyle, and Matt Burke. Oh my gosh. I can't even begin to explain to you how bad they were, but
a lot of our coaching issues are from the Dolphins. Obviously the offensive line coach is also a former Dolphins coach who I'm sure you don't have that fond memories of. Oh, no, I wasn't even talking about Zach Taylor, but also Zach Taylor, but I'm blinking on his name. Bengals offensive line coach who was the guy involved in the bully gate with you guys.
Jim Turner. I do remember Jim Turner.
Yes, who also, you know, there's a lot of thoughts about him and his coaching mentality and philosophy in Cincinnati. So a lot of issues between us.
The word caveman was thrown around a lot with Jim Turner while he was here. I would say we were surprised to see Zach Taylor be the coach of the Bengals, but I don't think a lot of us knew he was here. So he was, not a good or a bad opinion, but, I'm not trying to pick on the Bengals here. It's just a rough time. It is. They're 2-8-1. And the good news is, you know, even if the injury goes into next year, Joe Burrow in 2022, and beyond, I mean, he's only going to be 26 years old, and we certainly saw a lot of ability with him at quarterback. But looking at the defense as well, I mean, one guy that always sticks out to me, too, is free safety Jesse Bates. He's got 3 interceptions on the year, a player that I really liked when he was coming out of Wake Forest. They've also got William Jackson at one of the cornerback spots. How has the secondary done so far this year?
I would say they started out the year pretty strong, and Jesse Bates is absolutely phenomenal. He has been all year. He has been throughout his career. I think that he is deserving of an All-Pro recognition this year, and I think actually the Dolphins coach mentioned that this week in his press conference as well. And then William Jackson, he started the year strong, but he's been very shaky in more recent weeks. I think it's been interesting to see kind of the secondary evolve. There's been a lot of injuries. And there was one week where it was William Jackson and then a bunch of practice squad guys who were the only cornerbacks on the roster due to COVID and injuries. And William Jackson actually ended up being like the weakest link at the cornerback position that week. So like some practice squad guys outplayed him. So he's been very up and down. I think a lot of it depends on who he is covering in a given game. But Jesse Bates has really been the focal point of that secondary and someone who hopefully the Bengals can really build around as they continue to figure out what they're going to do on defense. And Von Bell is someone they brought in this offseason in free agency, which was like kind of a really the Bengals don't bring in a lot of big name free agents. So it was very exciting to see them do that. And he's been pretty good up and down. Last week was one of his best games, actually. And, you know, that's kind of to be expected in a new system, your first year with a new coaching staff. So he's been good. I think the safety position is maybe the strongest of the positions on defense right now.
Yeah, they did spend some money here this past offseason on defense. They signed Mackenzie Alexander, a corner. They signed Trey Waynes at cornerback, who I believe hasn't played this year because of injury.
Sure.
They also signed defensive tackle DJ Reader to a lot of money as well. To pair with Geno Atkins. Reader's also hurt.
He's been out since maybe week 2 or 3. Unfortunately, Reader was the biggest signing they made, and then he has been out and won't be back this year. So very disappointing.
When it rains, it pours.
Yes, indeed. And it's like the Bengals never spend in free agency, and then their biggest free agent signing in years gets injured immediately. It's just, of course, it's like as Bengals as it gets.
Yeah, and when I look at him, I look at 2022 and beyond, having Burrow, Mixon, the wide receivers, Jonah Williams, Jesse Bates at safety. So definitely some good pieces there for the future. Maybe not so many good pieces heading in to the Dolphins Bengals game here on Sunday. So Rebecca, what is your score prediction here for this weekend?
Oh man, I expect a big Dolphins win. I will go 24-6.
And there you have it. We are joined by Rebecca Toback here on the Fin Side. And be sure to look out for her piece here coming out comparing the 2020 quarterbacks to the 2004 quarterbacks. It's Rebecca_Toback on Twitter. And Rebecca, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
that will do it for our breakdown of the Bengals-Dolphins game here on the Fenside. You can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic _ Pick on Twitter. It's not on the right side, and it's not on the left side. It is on the Fenside. So, D, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the Fenside. It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the Fenside. Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what brings.